To call the meeting to order, could we all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Me too.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have the roll call, please?
Present.
Here.
Here.
Present. Okay. Public comment period. Anybody wish to speak? I didn't even look to see if anybody signed it, but if you do, raise your hand.
There are no signatures.
No signatures. All right.
You all hear this.
They're late. All right.
Supervisor's comments. I do have a prepared statement tonight. I was going to give a state of parish address. I figured I'd move this along and just give you my normal statement. I would like to begin my comments with a big thank you to the town board for all of their hard work in 2022 to continue to attempt to make changes and push parish forward. I want to thank all the town employees that have been supportive and have had to deal with the changes that come with a new supervisor. I appreciate everyone's continued hard work as we bring in a new year. I also have to thank my bookkeeper, Angie Skellington, for her dedication to continuing improving and learning a very difficult position. Between the last board meeting and today, I've met with Jay Grasso to discuss our possible grant writing needs in 2023. Angie and I took a public funds class given by the New York State Comptroller's Office. I also attended an organizational meeting of CARP, and CARP is currently trying to reinvent itself and is looking for more volunteers. Finally, myself and Doug Houghton met with the mayor and also appeared before the village board last night in regards to our key issues. I will give more details of that meeting later on in our agenda. In closing, I'm excited to see the growth of parish in 2023. That ends my supervisor's comments. Any comments from the counselors?
Well, you said ditto.
Ditto. Okay, that's good. That's done. Anybody else wish to speak? Any counselors? Nothing from Mr. Holton, nothing from Robin?
No, thank you.
Okay, we will continue on. The approval of the minutes. And I'm just going to do these in one group. If anybody has a question on one and wants to change one, please let me know. But I need to approve the minutes of the meetings from 12-14-22, 12-19-22, and 12-28-22. You guys should have received them all in your mailbox. Any questions on those? Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of those?
I move.
Second.
Got that, Kelly? Fantastic. Wow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed and abstained. Motion carries. Department reports. The assessor is not present. The code enforcement officer, zoning enforcement officer. Will.
58 building permits, like zoning permits, 5 fire inspections.
This is for the year.
22 property maintenance violations, 89 closed building permits for 2021 and 22, 40 open permits for 22 still. Total fees, $11,154.50. Zoning fees, $1,785. The total project, $1,556,276.
Do we have any questions for the CEO? Fantastic. Thanks, Will. Thanks for your hard work in the year. We'll move over to the dog control officer, Steve.
Well, been making phone calls and checking with people, and Kelly said they've been coming in and getting their licenses. Got another list of them here tonight from her to call on. Some of them go back as far as 2015 to find out what happened to these dogs. I mean, you already paid the dog control officers that time period, 17, 19, 15. But I'm going to keep doing it and call them when I can. But some of it they get pretty out of hand when you call it. Well, my dog's been dead for 2 years. You got to bother me. You got to harass me about it. You know, I just try to tell them we're trying to bring the books up to date. All we can do, if you'd have reported your dog had died to the town clerk, we wouldn't be harassing you. Well, I did call her and she don't do her job. I don't want to get into that. Please, I don't want to listen to
it. Have a good night.
Yep. That's when I hang the phone up. So if you hear that I hung up on them, you'll know why. And going back to the Evelyn Zimmershaw case, the board had some questions for me at the last meeting. They wanted to ask me, talk to me about don't want to mention names, but the fellow was issued a ticket for unlicensed dog. Supposed to be been in court Tuesday night, and I can't find out from nobody what the judge did with it. I understand that he might have been told if you have the dog, we'll dismiss the ticket. Well, I don't agree with that. He's had all the time in the world to do it, but constant telling me, well, don't come in. I got COVID virus. I'm not going to, you don't pay me enough money to go in somebody's house twice when they tell me two times I got COVID. He's got it. His son's got it 10 days later. I'm not going in. I don't care. I'll resign tonight. That's what you expect me. And, the dog's going to be gone the first of the month. He's going. Back the first of the month, there's no dog around. I'm just like he is. I can't go on somebody's property and walk around and look to see if the dog's there. Dog's not barking. When I find out, well, he's cooped up in the camper out back, boxed up. But I didn't hear or see that dog, so what am I going to do?
Right.
Then I get a call from Evelyn again. I go back over. Dog nowhere to be found. He said, "Oh, we don't have the dog." Same dog. Where'd you take it? Well, maybe they brought it back. Well, she answers, "I get." When you go to give them a ticket, well, we got COVID. Don't come in.
Oh,
where do we draw the line? I mean, you know, you tell me. You guys want questions for me? Ask me what you wanted to know.
Yep, and I do know that the board asked to speak with you this month with some of their questions. So I called Steve up and told him that. And so anybody have questions concerning dog control?
Do we mail tickets? Do we mail them? Or...
That's a good question.
It's been handled like that in Boylston. Okay. And I will particularly tell you a case. I don't mind it. I'll make the ticket to Kelly Camille. But in Boylston, she was making the ticket to the town clerk and signing my name and mailing. And all of a sudden, I get a call from a state trooper who is now out of Plastic working in Marcy. He ripped me a new one. That dog that you sent my wife, got her all upset. She's crying. We picked up a rescue dog, brought it home. That dog killed my wife's poodle, tore its head off, and you want her to license it. Well, I had no idea there was a letter even sent out.
Right.
So if we're going to do it, it's going to be done through me, Kelly Camille, but nobody's going to send them a book, my dog control name on them. It's not going to happen.
Right. That won't happen right here, I don't believe.
I guarantee it won't.
No, you get them put up and everything and stuff, and then just hand them to Kelly Camille. You know.
Kelly, do you have any questions on how we're doing things? Between you and Steve, is everything cleared up a little?
I mean, people are coming in that he's calling. I mean, I'm not enforcement. All I can do is be there to license a dog. I send them late notices, and after that, I can't do anything about it.
Right. So when a resident does not license their dog, you then send them a letter stating that they
get a late notice, and it tells on the late notice if they no longer harbor the dog, or the dog's deceased, just to let us know. We have no way of knowing.
Right. So
tells us, and some people are good and they call us and they tell us.
Right. And so for the people that did not reply to Kelly's letter, that's on them.
Give me this list, and I try calling them or whatever, and I updated Kelly with the list of the deceased dogs. It was on, you know, people told me, I don't know if their dog's dead or not. They told me it was. How do I know? You know, right. I can't go to their property, go in their house and look. So.
Right.
And Steve is correct. Some of the dog control officers prior to Steve didn't do probably what they were supposed to, but I have no authority over those.
Right. And unfortunately, we're trying to move forward. I'm sure everybody cleans up messes. In their jobs when they get new ones and tries to make it better. And that's just where we're at, Steve. I think it'll get better after, you know, once we get it, once you're the cleaner. unfortunately, you're the guy that has to come in and do your best. And a lot of that, most of the time when you take over for somebody in these positions, there's cleaning involved. That's what I'm going to say on that. Just do your best and we'll, try to get work done,
The way I would took the questions from you, the board wanted to question me, if you don't feel that I'm doing my job,
I don't think they wanted to go that far, but with this particular case, I think it had some questions that they have, and they may have been cleared up since last meeting. It's been a month. And so some people hear some things and things get cleared out on their own. I think you're trying to do the best you can.
Well, I will tell you this, Jim, that I'm not going to write ticket after ticket. The judge is going to throw them out. I want to know where that results is going with it.
You got to ask the judge, I guess.
Right. Yeah. You got to ask you call up Devin and see. And the code enforcer has the same issues because I've been there. I'm going to work so hard to, do what we got to do to take care of it. But to me, as long as the resident does end up getting a dog license for that, that's what you want is compliance.
So well, I don't worry too much about the dog license.
Right. But
it's the abuse dogs and stuff like that. It happened in Albion twice.
Right.
Dog with a chain rather than his neck. They throw the ticket out because it took too long to go to court. Another dog dead at the doorstep, and the other one just barely get up, took rusted to the vet.
Right.
Took too long to go to court, so it was dismissed. I'm not spending my time doing stuff like that to end up in that case. Licenses, I care less about.
Well,
rabies is another thing. If they got the rabies shot and haven't got their license yet, I'm a little bit lenient. I'll give you a little bit longer.
But you give them time, but you still got to go back to them, and you're doing that.
I'll telephone call it. And then to get lied to like I did in this in particular case that we're talking about several times, I want to be a cop and say, hey, it isn't the way it works, but I just want the board to know I'll be here and do my job, but I want to know where you stand with it, what I'm doing, because I try to be as decent as I can to people without getting arguments.
And quite honestly, every little case is a little bit different.
Oh, yeah, everyone.
So, some residents are easy, some are extremely hard. And I understand that. And the board, I think, will understand that as this goes forward. And that's why, is there any more questions for Steve?
Just some other than Steve will check in and see about mailing tickets. If you can't get to the on the property or you can't go into the people or they won't accept them.
With mailing the tickets, and I'm not against that, don't get me wrong, but if I don't know there's a dog there,
right?
I call up Joe Smith and say, Joe, well, my dog died, or he doesn't answer the phone. I don't get no reply back. Then you mail him a ticket. The dog's been dead for 2 years. But we got to know that there's a dog before we mail a ticket.
Right.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Basically, you just can't go by this list that shows that so and so had a dog in 2015 and hasn't paid the license. Well, we can't just mail them a ticket. And I think you will check the records. I don't put in a lot of mileage and stuff for this, but I don't do my, shouldn't say do my job. If I don't have results in my job, I don't put the mileage down. I just don't feel it's worth charging you if I can't get results done. And this in particular case, five trips over there, you don't see that kind of mileage from me.
Well, we still got to pay you for your mileage.
Well, I don't
whether there's results or not.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But we're not asking,
I've done something.
We're not asking you to drive for nothing.
I know you're not.
I
do it with all the towns, not just here.
So it's not going to break the town for you driving a few, to pay you for driving a few miles.
This problem with harboring, sheltering the dogs in my shelter.
Yeah.
Now she's coming in Tuesday. I got a heat source there now. Yeah. Some sort of a heat source. Well, I got electric heater, so it ain't going to get used, but I'm sure it's there. know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
it's just getting ridiculous. Now a little dog, a house dog, I got a back room in my house that we keep them in. It's warm, but I'm not going to take a pit bull and put him in my living room.
And by doing what you're doing, we save money instead of contracting with city of Oswego, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Just
you check that out. It's check and see what they charge to do it, if that's what you want.
I'm just saying we do save money by you doing what you're doing. So I appreciate that because I don't know what it costs, but I know it's going to cost more than what we're paying. you. So.
Well, is everybody happy with what's going on? No, I mean, you tell me what you want. We'll adjust it. We'll try to get the tickets mailed. But, you know, if we can't get to them, I would think that, again, certain times you can mail tickets. Most of the time, you're not going to be able to, you know what I mean, because of unknown. But we'll try it.
All right. Sounds good. Good with us. Thank you, Steve. Right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
We're going to move on.
Thank you,
it's not on your agenda, but I received the town clerk's annual report. I'm not going to read it out. All the counselors have one. And it's there for you to look. So we will move on to
Actually ask a question on that?
Sure can. Go ahead.
Kelly.
Right there. Yeah.
Can... As an example, for my mother's death, can I get a certified death certificate through you, or do I actually have to go into the county of Oswego to get that? Onondaga County, then. And that's where I have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. So only people that died in Parrish can go to you? A lot of people died in Parrish. Said a lot of people died in Parrish.
Well, some of them are just death certificates that... They may be way back, you know what I mean?
And they just got filed last year?
No, they might want copies.
Oh, I see. Silly me. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Kelly? Okay, great. We'll move on to our fire company report. Chief.
Yeah, we have a few things tonight. First page is gonna be membership. Turning every year for this. Fire officers, executive officer members, RAMs, associate members. That's just a list of members that, if you guys ever wonder who we got, that list of EMTs, EMR.
Looks like your membership is growing there, Chief.
Yes, it is growing. We're actually in pretty good shape. I don't know, April was through the New York State recruitment. I think this year we're not going to push the recruitment so much as we are just the open house, because to be honest with you, we're running out of locker space.
Is that a bad thing?
Not a bad thing.
That's what I was hoping. You're doing good then.
Yeah, two more tonight that you'll be talking about later.
Yep.
December meeting and our December's report. Three structures, one vehicle fire, 17 EMS, 5 motor vehicle accidents, 4 hazardous conditions, and so on. Total calls for month 34, company hours 2430, man hours 163.47, miles 190. Mutual aid required 0 to standby, twice to the scene. Mutual aid given 1 standby, 8 times to the scene. Total mutual aid is 9, company hours 906, man hours 59 hours 56 minutes, miles 95. Went to Mexico once, Hastings 3 times, Constantia once, Plaski once, Altmar once, and West Amboy. Twice. Total calls for month 43. Company hours 33 hours 36 minutes. Man hours 223 hours 43 minutes. And mileage 285. Training hours for the month was 2 hours. Man hours 46 hours and mileage is 0. And my little pamphlet there, that's my annual report for the total of 2022. Total 25 structure fires, 3 vehicle fires, 3 vegetation fires, 109.
Vegetation fires?
Grass fires.
In the winter?
No, this is all year.
Oh, sorry. Again, I'm not paying attention.
Right there under your arms.
Yeah, this is the annual report.
I knew I saw it.
192 EMS, 1 rescue, 3 motor vehicle accidents, 33 hazardous conditions. And then you can read the rest of the numbers down through there. Total company, total hours, yeah. Total calls for the year is 335. Company hours, 228 hours, 13 minutes. Man hours, 1,555 hours, 40 minutes. Mileage is 1,870. Mutual aid required is 9 times standby, 57 times to the scene. Mutual aid given, we went standby 4 times, to the scene 59 times. Total mutual aid calls is 63. Company hours are 75 hours and 3 minutes. 9 hours was 616.52 minutes, mileage was 589. Total calls for the year was 398 calls. Company hours was 303 hours and 16 minutes. Man hours was 2,172 hours 32 minutes. Miles 2,459 hours or miles. Training hours for the year was 78 hours. Man hours 1,524 hours and 30 minutes. His mileage is 101. Go to the second page. That tells all of the townships that we went to, broken down.
You help Hastings a lot.
That, yeah. Well, with Hastings, we run together on car accidents, and what they call echo calls is what usually for us. Somebody not breathing. We automatically work together. We get toned out at the same time, and we work together. They come to us, we go to them. Gotcha. The same thing. That's basically, we're looking at 29 members right now, and right now Hastings is looking at 14. And daytime is worse for everybody,
right?
Because everybody's working. And we're mainly set up for the daytime, but it works out real well.
Yeah.
The last two pages, just the history of calls from since 1982 all the way through 2022. You can look at it at your leisure. That's it for my report. I want to bring up what the fire company is in the process of doing. Last few months, I've been working on replacing our light rescue. Our squad, when it comes to everybody's houses, I think it's nickel and diamond us. We've got quite a good miles on it. We're going to replace it with a 2022 Chevy Silverado 3500 HD. And the way we're doing it to keep the price down, we're buying the cabin chassis, and then we're taking the box off our rescue that we have right now and to put on it. The cabin chassis alone is $54,362.50. To move that box over and do a few other little things, it's going to be $28,400, so it'll be $82,762.50. We had to do it this year because the dealership said he only had two left in stock, and I put our name on it in November. And he's not looking to get any more of those cabs and chassis again until 2024. But we got to jump on it. To do a new cab and chassis and a brand new box, a whole thing together, is going to run between $175,000 to $200,000.
Wow.
So for figure $82,762.50 for a cab and chassis, and they have the box put onto the chassis, is a hell of a lot better than paying $175,000 to $200,000. The next thing we're doing also, which I found out today, it's in, but I have some stock under. Oh my God, I think I've got what the other here. Anybody wants to look at the cab chassis? We're also purchasing a new chase vehicle, another Tahoe. That's gonna be $72,347.50. Everything combined all together is $155,110. This is not gonna raise our taxes. Our treasurer, when we get our budget last year for this year, somehow she met the way she did it. It worked out to be exactly, because we have a truck payment loan or a line. It turned out to be exactly what our truck loan payment's going to be. We say she got lucky.
Tell her to buy a lotto ticket.
So we're buying these two vehicles at no cost of the taxpayer. Well, it's paid cost of the taxpayer, but it's not
no cost increase cost.
No increase. And then the cabin chassis. I'm actually leaving 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to go to Albany. We're buying them down to Albany. I'm going down 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to pick up the cabin chassis, deliver it to Syracuse, so they do like running boards,
They do the decaling?
Yeah, they're going to do the lettering. We'll get the small stuff done first, then we'll take our rescue, take it down to Syracuse, and they'll take the kit box off. And Hastings is going to let us borrow a squad and put in our station. While that ours is out of service and getting built, so we're not going to be out of a vehicle. We're just borrowing from Hastings.
Nice.
Is that it, Chief? Any questions for Chief? All right. Thank you very much for the update.
Nice. Thanks.
We're going to move on to the highway. George.
Yeah. Everybody knows what the weather's been. Unpredictable like crazy. And we've been struggling with it. Terrible. I spoke to LJ when I got here yesterday. We went out and sanded roads, and it's right straight over what we just sanded. It's just terrible. And everybody had the same problems throughout the county, you know. Our storms have been kind of crazy this year. We've got trees down. Once again, LJ dealt with that. Lines down and different things. And they're working on that. Working on trucks. As things go, doing some tree trimming. I'm working on getting grading replaced. A price was to replace the grading on the floor down there. Me and Doug have spoke of it several times. We are going to do the repairs to the floor in-house and just put the grading in, have it pre-cut and put in. So we've been working on that, and that's really about it.
Any questions for George?
The other thing was, yes, the plow. They haven't, there was supposed to have been at the truck was supposed to have been where they put the plow on it 3 weeks ago. They have no idea when it's going to get there. They haven't got it yet. They have got no answers from when it's going to be there.
Supply chain issues is what you're telling me.
It absolutely is. And I'm surprised that he was able to find one.
Well, it is a Chevy, so.
Well, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what brand it is.
What are you saying?
I was just saying it was a Chevy. It was a comment.
Who's putting the plow on?
Who's putting the plow on? What's that?
Who's putting the plow on?
Viking
up
in Henderson.
Henderson, yeah.
Yep. That was the other thing. Me and Jim spoke of this earlier in the week. The last two plows that we have bought, actually the last three plows, I guess, they have extended those plows and made them 12 foot. They buy them 11 and have extended them. Viking is going to extend that plow for free to a 12 foot plow, which has several advantages. The way the snow comes off and hits the wing, for one. Number two, when you buy cutting edges, you buy all 4 foot. You don't have that odd three footer piece. You know what I'm talking about.
Are those barrel plows or those two ways? Are those two way plows?
No.
Just a barrel.
You don't do anything two one way. Like you would on 81 right. And so forth. Right. No, they're all one way. That's all that any of the towns around use.
Are they doing the hoppers too, or?
Nope. That I don't have that information with me, but that's being done elsewhere.
Henderson. I mean,
I think maybe they're going to install it. I'm not sure. I'll have to look at that. I know that is already in the process of being built because we asked to have the ladder moved on it.
They're probably the screw type instead of the chain. The auger.
I think it's a chain.
Are they still the chain? Because everybody's going to the auger now.
Yeah. That was all ahead of me. I'm not really sure. But I know. Oh, I just talked to today. May have been Amboy. They were looking at buying a do-all box instead of having to change them. It's something to consider. They're considerably more pricey. I spoke to the guys today a little bit about it, but you only have one box and you don't have to have a man change it, and it's year-round usable. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of the towns have started going to those.
Yep.
Any questions for George? All right. Thank you very much, sir. I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon. All right. Tax collector, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I put one in Councilor Horning's box already.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay, obviously this is tax season. Yay.
Yay.
Yay, not so good for everybody. Oh, So first page there, that's basically the tax warrant I got from Oswego County. Total value is $2,630,712.23. I've gotten to March 31st to collect it, which I do. And in April, I reconcile with the county and state county. And so then as you read on down, it cites various sections of real property tax law, what my directions are and what not. Then you get down to the town supervisor. This is the town's warrant, $1,357,898.87. Why there's 87 cents, I don't know, but that's on the next page, and I'll explain that. Try to explain that part later. To the county, I have to pay $1,272,813.36, which you do the math, it adds up to that number at the top. Looking at page two is the abstract of how everything is broken down. It's broken down by town, broken down by county. So if we look, it says working on the tax roll. Somehow they worked in an 87 cents for me to work on the tax roll, added to the town side. But if you look down at county side, there's two credits down there, which also totals 87 cents. So that balances itself out. Why is that? I don't know. Just the supervisor asked me that too. I don't know that question. Maybe I've got to ask that with treasurer when I go see him in April. So that's the math on how the budget, or the budget, the warrant, excuse me, warrant adds up. And moving on to the fun page three. Tax collection days are Tuesdays and Thursdays, so from 10 until 6. So I am still data entering everything that came in yesterday and today. So what you have on page three is as of my close of business on Tuesday. So, and basically my tax collection program, this is the best report that I can get. It's called the trial balance. If you were to look at my software, there is a little box that says treasurer's report, but according to Williamson Law Book people, that's only for school tax collectors. So I can't, I tried to get it and say, ooh, can I use that? And they go, no, it's only school tax collectors to get that one, which is probably where all the cash receipts and disbursements are hiding out. But here we go. So basically it restates the warrant, $2,637,123. Okay, there's no adjustments. So we're now, the warrant still stays the same. So here we go, first installments. This is people, you can make an installment payment on your taxes. Some people have, to the tune of $3,954.55. We are not into second installment period yet. Well, some people might decide to send some in later, then that will show up on that particular line item. Full payments, this is the good part. Full payments, $370,774.45 in full payments. Those are people that are paid in full.
That would be me.
And you would be one of them. Yes, I remember entering yours. And probably some other people's too. Okay, so therefore, when the computer does its little math thing, total collections, $374,729 even. There is still outstanding taxes of $2,255,983.23. Now, a lot of that outstanding taxes is going to be mortgage companies, and they're beginning to filter it. They won't hit hard until the end of the month, early February. So that's where a lot of that will get chewed off between now and the end of January. So I sent the bills out the door. They all went out the door to the United States Post Office, 11:30, December 31st. They're all out the door. FedEx ones, one batch went to the Dollar General, which accepts them. The other batch of FedEx went down to OfficeMax. So everything was out the door December 31st. So now it's up to the U.S. Postal System to get where it needed to go. And there were some people that did call saying, I didn't get my tax bill. And they sent out the door. They were calling like less than a week before after I'd sent them out. We still deal with them. So we sent them another copy. Or one person I talked to, he said, I said, did you check your mail yesterday? He did check his mail. There was his tax bill. Bingo. Okay, so this year I have 1,414 tax bills responsible for. That is down 14 bills from last year. Last year was 1,428. So the assessor would have the exact answer for that one, but I'm guessing some people may have combined properties, merged properties, whatever they needed to do to get a unified tax bill. That starts at the assessor's level. I have nothing to do with that part.
That's interesting.
And then it That's something I can think of.
Right.
Because if you combine, if somebody had two tax bills and you merge them and take away a tax line, you got one property, right. One bill. So yeah. That could happen.
Quite a few.
Yeah. 14. Don't know the answer to that for sure.
Maybe that's something.
And the assessor will know that answer.
She should, because she tracks all that stuff. I know we did do speak as a village planning board rep. I know we did have a couple come before us for the planning board. Did they all come to us? I don't know if it was 14 people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't track that stuff off the top of my head.
No, but that seems like a lot.
Yeah. Well, the year before that, it was like, I think, 1,402. Then it yacked up to 1,428. Now it's down to 14. I never know how many. We're up to 1,400 bills now. So. And as you can see, 243 of those bills belong within village properties. 1,171 of them belong in the town. That includes those four reforestation properties that the county is liable to direct deposit into the supervisor's account. He just needs to let me know when it comes in so I can track it in my record to get him off my record.
Speaking of that, can you send Angie an email stating that? Mm-hmm. So that she'll be looking for, do they normally come in?
Anytime between now and the end of March.
Yeah, send Angie an email because she will not even know what it is, and I won't know until I look at the books at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So if you need to know sooner than that, just send her an email.
Okay.
She'll
do that.
She'll remember that way. Yep.
Yeah, it's because it's only four reforestation properties, and County Loves is on the county's been doing. I know from the village side, they're doing a lot of electronic funds transfers. They just send you an email. Said here's your the email. Says here it is. It's going to the bank on this date, and then they send you the backup documentation to show what it was for.
Yeah, and half the time it doesn't. They're hard to understand because it just may say tax on it. And
you just write your mic.
It could even be sales tax, and you think it's sales tax, but it's really not.
At least I know, again, from the village side of WU, they say, hey, here's your fourth quarter sales tax. It's on page 2.
Well,
so anyway, moving right along. So therefore, the number of bills paid as of 1/17 when I closed business, we had 41 paid in the village. There were no partial payments. And you can see my little number there, 59,154.27. There were 226 town divided between partial. No, there was a division between full paids and partial paids. You can see my little numbers in there. Full paids for the town, 311,620.18. Partial payments in the town, 3,954.55, which is the same thing as the top number there. So that's a balance. Balancing out. Add those two numbers up, 315,574.73. Add that to the village payments of 59,154.27. And you come out to the 374,729. Now, this year, I did change the bank account from a total savings to a checking. So therefore, that being said, I can have a little bit better track on cash receipts and disbursements, at least on some sort of a paper form other than the banking form in my tax software computer, and I have already given per town law the supervisor a check covering January 2nd through the 9th for $225,000 he has deposited because I know it came out of my account already.
Right. And just so the counselors understand, during the audit process last year, that was one of the things the comptroller's office was looking for, was for the tax collector to pay us previous to this year. They would just do a transfer between the bookkeeper and Kevin on the computer. And the comptrollers said that was not a great idea. And that according to town law, Kevin is supposed to be paying us on a regular basis. And what that enables Kevin to do is take a lot of that money because it's going to be 1 million. Instead of Kevin being in charge of the 1 million, it puts it into our bank accounts where it accrues interest and we don't really have to worry about interest either.
Right.
And so it comes, so he no longer has the full brunt of it. It's back in where all the money is. And I can actually take it on a regular basis and place it into either the general fund, the DA account, or the DB account.
Right.
Depending on where I need it at the beginning of the year. Right now we don't use DB. So out of that 225, I placed nothing in the DB account because we don't use it. It went into DA and A so we can pay our bills. For instance, if we didn't have a fund balance, when I talked with Laird Petrie on Tuesday, that's how he explained it to me without going through and borrowing money from a fund balance. He says, you just run it, Kevin gives you money. His money covers all the vouchers that we even have this mm-hmm. time. So it's not a big, but that's why we have to do what we're doing. And we continue to improve things. Yes. So that's one of the things Kevin worked on very hard to get a checking account. And it now he has, instead of one thing coming over, he's going to keep track of it. If he has to send another check out to somebody instead of going to get a cashier's check, you write it out of his checking account. We can look at how many checks he's written and we know where they were written to.
Right.
You got to count. And so it's a good way to get rid of some of those red flags.
And I also do manually input that because I can input that into the banking form of the tax collection software, like I already did for the check that I wrote with the supervisor. So I kind of have that running balance because the bank statements are always going to be a month behind. So if somebody wants to say, oh, how much are plus effect? That way I also can check my yellow slips, the deposits should be roughly close until I write another check. They'll be rough. They should be dead on target with. Because every time I close a deposit in the tax collection software, it automatically dumps it into the banking form. It's called banking form. And I just go right down and go, deposit number 11 is this, and here's my balance after I put it in the bank, which will be tomorrow.
And once again, in case anybody does not know, the town is made whole first. So we will get all of that money as he collects it in. We will get the $1.3 million. And then the county comes last. And so for those people that do not pay their taxes on time or delayed, eventually it goes to the county and they are in charge of collecting it after Kevin is done.
That's usually in April when I reconcile with counties. The county sets up a date. I have a checklist that I go through in a mathematical form, pretty much similar to the abstract layout. It's pretty much they send back and I get to put things into it and I make pencils and pen marks and in it and then forward that off to county treasurer. He reviews it, or his representative reviews it, and then we get together and say, yep, looks good to me, here's your date and time. Obviously I work full-time in Syracuse, so it's usually me swing on over on my way home and reconcile, and then usually have a check right then and there. So at least I will this year, instead of stopping to the bank first thing, going to say, hey, here's your check.
Any questions for Kevin? Good. We're learning nice. Something new all the time here. Yes. So this is good. Yep. Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Now on to Paul Baxter with the Tug Hill Report.
You have my report before you there. We're scheduling the next Salmon Rivers Council of Governments meetings. I don't know of any suggestions on date, time, and location. Possibly we can do it this next Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon if we have somebody from parish available. The reason for that is once a year, the Tug Hill Commission sits down with all the chairs from all the councils of government of the Tug Hill region. And there's a couple things that they do. First is they let the communities know what it is that they have done in the last year and what they see coming up in the year to come. But also the COG chairs bring to the commission ideas for Tug Hill, what they have in their way of needs, concerns, problems, opportunities. Our work program at Tug Hill is heavily driven by what our communities tell us they want and need. It's you're fundamental to our priorities.
I'd like Paul to be here every day. Is that going
to
work?
Well, we balance that compared to the needs for the other communities as well. I don't think 100% of me would.
All right, I'll take it easy
on you. Over the other communities as well. But I know, for example, I was in Amboy last night, and one of the things they mentioned was broadband as a concern. So we wanted to get a Salmon Rivers meeting in if we could before that meeting takes place, and that meeting will be on Monday, January 30th. So it's possible to next week, like I said, Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. It looks like the dates and times that are shaping up best so far. We've already got a couple on board, and of course I coordinated it through Tug Hill and the Salmon Rivers chair. So if you can send somebody, attend or send somebody, that would be
helpful. Where?
Well, we have in the past meetings like that up in Albion. But it depends when I get a date nailed down. I'll check with Albion and see if they're available. And if they're not, I might be talking to see if you want to have it here.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this meeting room may be available that day, but we got to know what day, and then I can check with Tasia.
We'll check and we'll get a location.
Yeah.
So that's the next Salmon Rivers meeting. Hopefully we'll be doing that soon. That's the key thing on the agenda. We'll probably elect officers and do a couple other small things as well. But the big thing is communications with Tug Hill on what we see as the priorities for the year to come. Registration materials for the April 2023 local government conference have been mailed. Everybody should have one. If you don't have one, I do have an extra set here to give to the town clerk and make any copies you need of that. And it's also available on the Tug Hill website. So,
thank you.
The information about the conference is on the Tug Hill website as well. Tug Hill has established its 2023 meeting schedule and a couple key dates to keep in mind. Tug Hill has its commission meetings, kind of like their board meetings. They move them through the communities, and Parrish has hosted meetings here in the past. And they try to do at least one a year in each of the COG areas. So the one in the North Shore area this year will be on Monday, May 15th at 10 a.m. in Constantia, and the location is yet to be determined on that. The one in the Salmon Rivers area is actually going to be the big one of the year. It's going to be the location of the Tug Hill annual dinner on Thursday, October 19th, starting at 5 o'clock at the Tailwater Lodge in Altmar. And it's going to be notable because we'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Tug Hill Commission. I should mention, and I mentioned it to Jim last night, you will notice that date stands out because it's the third Thursday, which would be the night of your regular town board meeting. So if you had thoughts of attending the annual dinner, you might want to reconsider scheduling your meeting.
We could have our meeting up there.
Another date. Well, do what you want. But I did want to point out that that was a conflict. We're at the mercy of Tailwater's availability for scheduling something like that, obviously, because something like that is going to be a big function, and there are just so many dates that they have. So that's when we're doing that. And like I said, hope to see some of you there. And if you do have your meeting that night, I will probably ask to be excused so I can attend the annual dinner. The entire 2023 commission meeting schedule is up on the Tug Hill website. And the most immediate meeting will be next Monday in Trenton. One thing that's always true of local governments is local government change. People change. Some people step down from office and somebody else takes their place. Sometimes it's a contested thing. Unfortunately, sometimes people leave suddenly and unexpectedly for all kinds of reasons, some good, sometimes unfortunate. Something that we've been aware of in Tug Hill, because we've helped communities before when they have a sudden loss of a supervisor or a town clerk or other positions. And it's always a challenge. And one thing that we've been thinking of in more recent times is we've been working with some other entities to come up with what we're calling a position knowledge inventory. And I'll give you a copy of this here. What this does is it acts to kind of capture the knowledge about key positions in town, so that if that position was no longer for the person that has it, what would you need to know to go on, continue to function? Some things you have a little time to figure out, some things are more immediate. And what this is an attempt to come up with a questionnaire that would capture that knowledge to the degree that you can capture it. We're going to be doing a webinar on this. It's intended for February right now, but I don't think we have a date on that yet. And we're also going to be doing a session on this by one of the other authors at the local government conference in April. And I want to get this in your hands now. Feel free to make additional copies of it if anybody else wants a copy of it in its draft form. Tug Hill doesn't have all the answers on this, all the things that you might want to ask. So you might look at that and say, well, they didn't think to ask about this or add that question or whatever. So if you have any comments, suggestions, additions, they'd be most welcome. And we would be looking at incorporating those into the final document. So I think this will be a useful thing to the extent it's used. It'll help communities with transitions when they come about. I have an update on COVID test kits. You might have seen the white and orange home test kits. I was able to get some to you last year. They initially had an expiration date. This is wrong. It's not 7/44, it's 7/22/2022. The FDA extended the expiration date from last July to this January. And I checked the FDA website and they extended it one more time to April 22 of this year. So I was able to get Kelly some more test kits, and this is the publication from the FDA that shows the expiration date of the different test kits, and the ones that Parrish has are on page 2 of that form. So they continue to be in demand. Why don't you mention about wildlife management areas? We've been on top of that issue, and the newest thing on that, of course, is that the legislature is starting a new session, and we've got different representatives representing the Tug Hill region. Katie, our executive director, is going to be meeting with all of our senators and assembly people. And this is on the list of things that she's going to be bringing up to them as a pending issue, something that there's still interest in the area. Another thing that's on the running list is the Little Salmon River and salmon fishing and salmon restoration. I recently attended a webinar on efforts to monitor the impacts of dam removal on area dams. They've actually done some studies, and I think they did one right on the Little Salmon River itself about things like how does it affect the distribution of life forms in the water? Does it affect things like sediment and particles in the water, kind of things like that? So that it's something that's being being studied. And like I said, I think they did. Part of the study had to do with Little Salmon River. And that, again, continues to be an issue that we're monitoring with the Tug Hill Commission. I have one other thing that didn't make the list because I was just thinking about it as I was driving up here. Just a little bit of an update. It was the end of December, December 27th. I came up to Parrish and I helped get the new color laser multi-function printer set up for the assessor. We've been going back and forth. She'd had some schedule conflicts, and but we finally came up with a mutually opportune time. I came up and we got that totally in service for her. So that's been done.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Paul? You're not seeing none. We will move on. Thanks again, Paul.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll move on to our old business, town court issues. I spoke with Devin regarding the issues we had last month. Unfortunately, he could not attend the meeting. He had a prior engagement. And we spoke on ways to improve it. I don't know what he's done exactly, but I think the complaints are down a little bit, Kelly, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But usually comes after a bunch of nuggets.
So. But I haven't received any complaints that they couldn't reach the court as of last meeting. So I'm hoping everything cures itself out. I will have Devin here next month just to cure up any of those questions that we may still have. I'll ask Devin to appear before us if he could. So any questions on Devin? All right, more old business. The global LED conversion. I did meet with Mark earlier last week, I believe is what it was. He had to take pictures of all the units. So I actually went into the bathrooms so they know exactly what to order. We took pictures of every light at the park. And then we went to the highway. He took pictures of whatever he needed. And what he estimated was he was going to get back to me this week or next week. And then we would set up a time. I would call George so that George is aware that these people are coming with their lifts for the highway garage and so that they could move equipment. And we're going to start that process hopefully within the month at the highway garage. The park, because of the weather, it may wait till spring. Yep. So just so you're aware that that's what's going on there. Any questions on the LED conversion? Okay. The records room shelving. The records room shelving arrived last week. This week I went downstairs and I'm going to be the one putting the shelving together. I unboxed all the items, counted up what we had compared to what we should have had, and we were short 8 pieces. So I'm going to put together 2 of the shelves and leave the last one, and we're going to wait until they come in. We did not place it on our voucher list to pay for it until we get those remaining 8 pieces that I need. But with that, I believe it's going to save us $800. They were going to charge us to put the shelves together. So I'll take the time.
Some assistance.
So, well, I wasn't going to tell you that. Thanks, Chief.
If you get any extra screws, they always give you extra
screws. No screws.
No screws. Perfect.
So it's all good, but we're going to get it, and we're going to get it up hopefully next week.
These are all Legos.
Yeah.
There you go.
Any questions on the shelving? Great. ARPA funds. We need to have discussion on those ARPA funds. I know it's every town is having the same struggle. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face. I don't know what you guys want to do with it. I just know through looking at some of the papers that some of these towns have actually taken a portion out of their ARPA funds, and they're going to pay somebody to handle the ARPA funding. So for instance, if you wanted to take $500 and another $1,000 and another, they actually hire a company to turn it all in and do their, because you know what it was to get on the, to get on there. And it's a process.
Jim?
Yes.
I just noticed on the Tug Hill conference schedule.
Yep.
Session 2A, they talk about administering it.
Right. They want to. And so it's not about how you use them, honestly. It's about how you record them
and
how you report it. And that's why some of these towns, I think Albion or Amboy, one of those up north.
What's it costing them? What's the percentage?
They did
probably something crazy, like $11,000.
No,
which
well,
is annoying.
So right.
Compliance, so I'm sure they
would. Right. So it's, I don't know what the percentage was, but just so we're aware that, you know, reporting is an issue, and it's just a pain. Am I correct, Paul? Reporting your ARPA fund usage? A lot of towns complaining about it?
Oh, everybody is struggling with it. The towns are having special meetings, figuring out how they're going to spend it. They've been retaining consulting firms to help them with the paperwork.
Yeah.
That hasn't been easy.
So
it's
something.
We have a list of the names of the other towns are using.
How about if we wait till after
right, just,
commission training? I get
right. I'm just
very
just so
aggravated with a government body that gives you money, and there's this third party, the lawyers, no offense, sir, that or the consultants that make out and run with 10%, 15%, just because the government made it so hard to start with.
Right,
and maybe this thing up there would let us know more about how do you. Process
right
our claim right. And what's the paperwork, and there might even be organizations or government paper that are free for you to get a hold of for advisement or to help you through it, because if it's a lot of thousands of dollars,
yeah, if it's like 10%, that's a waste, 10% is 20 grand,
right?
Yeah,
and I don't think, and like I said, it may be by how many items? If we have one item, it
might
may only cost.
Per
yeah, so I don't know.
Right.
But it's just so that we're aware, we're not the only town having these issues.
And we were debating about putting
it. And we haven't spent any money yet. I know there's in April there may be an annual report that is due, but mine is going to be a zero. Now I haven't got into it yet to report it because we haven't spent any money yet.
Right.
So as that comes along, if I run into difficulties, we'll figure that out too. But just so you guys are aware, it's the ARPA funds, you know, that we have them. We just we have to spend them. And it, like I said, it depends on, you know, Paul, it's not the what anymore, I don't think. It's how.
Are besides at the Tug Hill meeting at one I won't be at, do they Are they offering any webinars and things like that that are outside of business hours that you know of?
Well, I know there have been some webinars that have taken place, and sometimes the recordings are available later via sources like YouTube. I haven't heard of any recently, but if I hear of any, I'll let you know.
Please. And where would I search a database to see if there's been anything relatively recent? Because at last year's classes, I took the ARPA class.
Mm-hmm.
And they did talk a little bit about the reporting component, but it was mainly based on what it is you're going to be able to spend this money on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and initially it seemed very strict and narrow. And then after that, you're like, no, it could be interpreted pretty broad as long as we're not, you know, talking millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And we're not, we're a smaller community. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do a lot of focusing on the on the reporting component last year. So I'd like to, if I know where to start searching, I'd like to educate myself.
Okay, hold on just a second. If you go to the Tugger website.
Okay.
And you go to resources.
Yep.
There's a menu item there. The very first thing that pops up is ARPA resources.
All right, thank you.
I'm on that page right now, and it looks like there's a updated project and expenditure report. I don't know about any videos, but if there were any videos that we were aware of, we would post them on this page.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll poke around this weekend. Thank you.
Anymore, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
That's something for the list for Tug Hill, the Salmon Rivers meeting. Yeah. That's on the Tug Hill. Arpin.
Are you going to take that course again? Are you going to go down to?
I can't go to the okay. Go to the thing this year. I don't have the time.
Well, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I think we should.
The classes were great.
Maybe we can press them into how this reporting should be.
Or if there's somebody,
somebody ought to know.
Right, and it once again it's federal money. They pushed it to the states, and the states are in charge.
So recording, are you reporting it all to the state or the
to federal? The state?
Okay,
to the state. That's now. A little and it was. I think we originally had to do the federal one, and now it's pushed to the state, and it's just going to be a wonderful hassle.
Yeah, it's not idiot proof.
And I'm on. You know, nobody's. It's hard. It's hard to know what you can. I mean, it's easy to know what you can do. Now you can do just about anything you want with it. But it's how to report it and
how to word it and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just getting into the websites and doing. We had a hard time even setting up
our. It was awful.
I think we can figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Over
given enough time.
You got what, till 25?
You're retired, right? Aren't you soon?
Yeah, I can't.
Maybe by the time you retire, we'll figure it out. But. Huh? Needless to say, we have to honestly sit down and figure out where we want to spend that money, let alone record it. So we really have to come up with a straight plan.
Well, if we're not going to be able to use it because you don't want to report it, then all these other things.
No, we can use it, but we just have to. We haven't even decided that yet.
How long do you have after you use it to report it?
I think it's quarterly. There's once you start using it, I think, and then there's a yearly report, but I'm not even 100% positive on that.
Well,
because we haven't used it yet, and nobody's contacted me to report anything yet.
And if you wanted to use it,
if we don't know how to report it, then maybe we shouldn't use it. And a lot of the things that we want to do, do we have money aside from that to use? Like for the park.
Right now, we budgeted this year $55,000 for the park. And you add the $20,000 we had from last year that we will pull from fund balance. We have $75,000 to cover that paving project that was estimated at $75,000. Now, we can handle that, but that didn't include moving the fence. So,
right.
But what I said, what I thought about doing was do the basketball court to the tennis court, leave the parking area for another phase if we had to.
We weren't considering the parking lot in that figure.
We weren't?
No.
Just the basketball? Yes. And okay. Right. I thought included everything.
And I was paving that that other stuff that you're talking
2 inches, yeah. 2 inches of.
You're talking about so, cushion things or whatever.
So, well, I they haven't gotten back to me.
Right. So if we want to do that, the only other thing would, as things come in, then we can use the ARPA. I mean, this is budgeted money. Mm-hmm. So we budget for this. Like I said, the only big major purchase I see coming up is maybe another truck for the highway. We've taken care of the roof. We've taken care of some of these other things all within budget. So if we wanted to use that for that, but it may come too late to even pay for it because it may be past 2026 when you have to, you know, you can order things and then you have to 2026 to pay for them, I think, with ARPA money. So we have to decide, really sit down and think, where do we spend our ARPA money on? And it could, like I said, some of these, just because we budget for it doesn't mean we can't use it for it. That budgeted right. money goes into fund balance right. and we use ARPA money. But that's one of those reporting things I have to make sure that we do, you know, with more knowledge, we'll get better. But we really have to sit down and decide what we want to do with $206,000.
You know, like what I figured, the money was given originally to towns and the people and stuff, and to be dispersed to benefit the public for everybody, all the residents that went through this COVID thing. So I think our responsibility is, what can we do that will benefit everybody? You right. know what I mean? Everybody.
And we had talked about the park over there. We had talked about the little park over here.
Right.
Yeah.
We had talked about security cameras.
Right. And all those are little, like I said, we've got. But
they add up to it.
Right. They add up. I agree. They do add up. But we have to figure out.
You need written estimates before you can apply for, you know, right. all this stuff. Yeah.
Correct. So I figured
we okay. could do that. Do we have money for the cameras and the LED lights?
LED lights will be, what do we say, 2000 for the park?
Yeah. Well, I just wonder if we have the money.
Yeah.
Was that budgeted or is that out of?
The lights were not budgeted for that. That would come out of the 55,000 that we put for park equipment, I believe. So these are the things that, you know, maybe we should sit down and just talk ARPA funds mm-hmm. amongst us instead of a regular monthly meeting. We can do that, you know, at a special meeting and be yeah. prepared for this discussion.
Yep.
You know, and think about the whole town, and, you know, we can spend 2 hours talking about ARPA instead of tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But well, it has to be done. We just keep pushing earlier. It. Yeah.
We got to.
We got to come up with a plan. I agree. Right. And like I said, it's a lot of money. So
if we go to that class and we learn something, maybe that'll help spur everything.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, I'm in agreement. Like I said, a lot of towns are in the same boat that we're in, trying to figure out what to do.
Right, once you do one purchase with it.
Then I think it's poorly. Yeah. You got to
do for the second, and then it'll get right. easier.
But that's why some towns, some of the supervisors go, look, this is way above me. And I believe Paul can attest to that, that some towns just have paid because they don't want to deal with the hassle. And I don't know how much it is, but they're doing it because it's out of ARPA funds. So if you take that 206 and it may only cost you $2,000, is it worth that $2,000? You know, so I don't know. If it was that little, it may be worth it, is what I'm saying. What was that?
If you were paying a consultant to help you with administering your ARPA funds, that's payable from the ARPA
funds. From the ARPA funds, right.
Right.
So it's not like you, I mean, you so technically lose it, but it depends on how much work it is. And evidently, it's a problem across all towns.
Yes.
Yep.
So we're not the only ones in this silly little boat that somebody left us with a bunch of money. And it would be great if we could just use it without reporting. Because they let you use it for anything, so I don't know why we have to report it on everything. Some of the bigger ones, like the county, you know, over 10, they're over that 10 million mark that they got. They have to report it, and they can only use it and prove that it's used for ARPA funds or for, you know, the items that were so restricted at the beginning. Right. Yeah, they have to prove that type of deal. So we will continue. It's, you know, it's a very difficult thing when, you know, they leave you that much money and how to do it correctly.
Yeah.
Where we don't have to pay in the future because you don't want to make a mistake and have to pay. And that's what some of the towns are afraid of.
Strings attached.
Yes.
Wow. That's some of big government's plan. We're going to put it on TV to the taxpayer. We gave all this money out. And it never did get used because they make it so difficult.
Right.
And it happens. So
maybe if we get enough feedback, it'll say, you know what, just put in your general fund and write out the check.
Yeah. And then you got to report it. That's, you know, that's.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to wait until after Tug Hill Conference?
I think so.
I think it'd be
smart. And meet. And what we can do then, we will set up a special meeting just for ARPA. And then we can discuss this as a board and talk at length. Let me just make a note, please. Meeting for ARPA after Tug Hill. Okay.
We're going to call it a workshop.
Right. We'd call it a workshop, special meeting, whatever we want to do. We're already advertised on the fourth Thursday of every month to have a workshop. I think it's scheduled. I'll check with Kelly, make sure our wording is correct. But we're already advertised, so we don't have to advertise for that special meeting. We'll just hold one. It's always the fourth Thursday of the month. Correct, Kelly?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I did that one
right. Have it as close as we can to...
to when we come back.
Yeah. So everything's fresh in your mind.
Correct. Yes, we will do that as quick as we can. Shall we move on? Merrill Park was on my next item, and we're already tying that into ARPA.
I would wait on that and kind of cover those.
Right. I said it.
At the same time.
Right. It should be done in phases.
And anything else that you got right. planned.
And we can discuss that too. But now, once again, I don't like to continue to push things.
Right.
But we have to with these items. Unfortunately, they're going to be so much. But that Merrill Park, if we decide to pave it, we're going to have to ask for some estimates and choose, you know. And so we're going to have to put that out early so that we get it on the paving schedule for some of these companies that want to bid on that.
Well, and we could do that before we make other decisions.
We can, getting, right.
We could do that tomorrow.
If we chose to put it out there, we could. Right. Because we do have the funds anyways. We have those funds available.
I mean, are you going to put a bid out there for a contractor just to pave or a contractor to pave, do the courts, do the playground area? You know what I mean?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not talking tons of money, much more, but you're talking.
Like I said, in the budget, we have money to do that paving.
Right.
And then in a different phase, we're talking new playground. Right? It could be 50 to 60,000. Yeah. So then we got that phase. It could be next year. It could even come in the budget, or we could use ARPA funds.
Right.
But I think the main thing is to get that paving done because we know approximately how much that will cost us and we can move forward with that. But we just have to, we'll wait till next month. And then put the bids out, you know, or even Martin, nobody's going to go bid on it now anyways, because they have to measure it out. Once the snow comes in February, it's going to come.
106 by 120.
Yeah. Write that one down. But it's the work that's going to be involved. Right. And so somebody's going to have to come out and look. It's not a clear.
No, you got it.
You got to bid it out. So we will do that come springtime and get on their list real fast. And that should be good. Any other questions on Merrill Park? Okay, let me move on to the next item. The village lease. As I stated in my supervisor's comments, myself and Doug met with the mayor in her office. I have talked to LJ, who was on the village board, concerning the keys. This key thing has been a key in my side, so to say. We attended the meeting last night, myself and Doug. I approached the board. I was looking for the keys for our counselors. I asked them many questions. They always came up with something else. And then I told them my opinion on security. Well, we have cameras, for instance. I went through that. After all the discussion we had, the village board voted to not give the counselors to the keys. We haven't had keys yet. So this is I've been at this for a week, it seems like, chatting with, you know, anybody I could, the mayor and everybody. What I'm proposing to do, because it wasn't in our lease to begin with keys for the counselors. After going home and thinking about it, I think that we should sign the lease, knowing that possibly a new board will come in March, they have their elections in March, and fight that fight after the lease is signed. I don't think we should delay the lease. LJ?
I just want to make mention that wasn't at the meeting last night. But
right.
Jim and I have talked up to the office, and I don't really see any reason why.
Right.
You can't get into anything but the mailboxes, so you can keep down here and get in the gym.
I'm gonna sit in all the chairs.
But so, I see this this whole Keith thing hits me differently. Okay. We're not talking about there's Doug, Robin, me, Richard, and Jim. Okay, I mean, does everybody know who the board members are? So this talking about about security and about cameras and about people getting into stuff. Look, we're not asking for keys for 12-year-old kids. We're asking for keys. I'm not. I'm just explaining my opinion.
We're asking for keys for adults.
Right.
that you know.
But you know, all I'm saying is where I'm coming from.
I hear you.
We're not talking. There's nothing security. Nobody here's a felon. Nobody here has been arrested for burglary or breaking in entry. So. What are we talking? We're talking about board elected officials here, just to be able to get into. There's nothing in here that I want or anybody else here wants.
No respect.
You know, so yeah, that's kind of a disrespectful opinion, in my opinion. So as far as you saying sign that bill,
I'm not signing it.
I'm not handing over my weapons to my enemy and say I'll fight you later. Right. No,
well, here,
I'm not for signing.
Well, here's the next you're thing. Talking two different things.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't care. It's our only weapon. Right.
Here's the next problem, and let me explain this to you. We are now currently in a building that we don't have a lease for. Can they evict us? I spoke with Bob earlier today about it. What are the legal ramifications if this continues on 6 months? We're due to pay them in January, but I didn't put it on the voucher list because we haven't signed the lease yet. So we have to consider these things. And like I said, nothing really changed in the lease. We've never had keys before. We don't get them now. So to act in a more, let them be who they are, let us be who we are, I think, and it's just my opinion, we sign this lease because nothing really changed in it. You didn't have a key before the lease, you won't have a key after the lease. But that way we can pay the village so that they can pay their bills, because we pay half in January, half in June, and that the village can move on. You know, we pay them $10,000 and I don't remember the amount. But that way, we've been the good people. We're trying to work with them. Let them look that they have an issue with having keys. That's, you know, I don't think it should dwell on this lease is my point, because it just makes us.
I don't think an eviction is possible, because if you go back into history. Yeah. No, seriously.
I know.
If you go back into history, and you can ask Jack Wazinski, who brought this up. This building was left to the town. The village was left.
You remember what I was telling you?
I know.
So you can't evict somebody from a building that they own.
Well, we don't own it. We really don't own it. It's
a village building.
It's a village building.
Village to take care of.
They are the administrator.
It's
right. The administrator. But the town owns a building.
No, look on the deed.
That's part of the administration.
But you look on the county who pays the taxes on it, or should pay taxes on it. It says village on it. Maybe Bob can give a little history, maybe, on who owns this building. Do you have any?
With Harold Petrie, if he was here.
Right.
Yeah. I did before he died. And we had about 4 or 5 years before he died. And he asked me to be here with him to understand what was going on. It's what I was telling you. The library and this building were left to the town. The village is the administrator, and that's the way it is.
Right, but they're in charge of the building. We've been paying this lease, or we signed this for years now. They lease it to us. They're in charge of the maintenance. They're in charge of everything.
That money
right?
goes to paying for the building.
Right, right.
Can you find the deed and the town name? It's in the village.
But they can't maintain this building unless they have the town paying on the lease. We all know that.
Right.
And we're not getting evicted.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
All it is a way to get the money so they can pay the bill.
Look, look down the road. We fight this fight, and we fight it for 8 months, and the village is out because we're not paying for the lease. Who does that hurt?
Well, the thing is, you can quit paying the lease, and someday you're going to have to wake up and pay the money so that this building...
That's what I'm saying.
Give it another name.
Right.
It's not a lease. You know, call it what you want.
We sign a lease. That's why I'm calling a lease.
Yeah.
Of course, Bob's looked at the lease because it says lease right at the top of it. It's right here. Lease. This lease dated the first day of January, 2023. It's called the lease. Well, we pay it as a lease. It's a lease.
That's fine.
But like I said, once again, I really believe that if they want to fight us for no keys, how long do we fight them for it? Do we, you know, that nothing changed without these keys.
Well,
but that's my opinion.
I did talk to the mayor and I said, look, we all play in the same sandbox. We really all need to get along and work together. The village is working on a water project. You're going to need a town. Well, you know, this could work two ways here. You can either work together and work together, or you fight against each other and fight against each other. There's only a matter of three freaking keys.
Over that. It's not even a big deal.
We went to the meeting last night.
I understand. I've been arguing this case for 2 weeks.
But it's not a big deal.
A better feeling clearly between the town mayor and the village. And that wasn't going to happen.
Pretty stubborn on that point.
She and like we sat there with her. So that's my question: is how long do you guys as a board want to fight this fight over three keys?
I don't need a key.
I say as long as it takes.
But we can still fight that key fight. We can still sign the lease, is what I'm trying to tell you. And just because it's not in the lease that we get keys, we can fight that fight. I just want to pay the bill. We've been fighting the fight, with the lease signed.
How long? How are you going to fight the fight? I want keys? No. I want keys? No. Well,
I understand where he's coming from. You've got a little leverage. Say, they can't lease it to someone else. They're not going to.
Right.
Are they going to go behind?
I don't have a horse in the race.
Right, but are they going to go behind?
I see what he's saying.
Are they going to go behind on the money that we pay them, on their bills and everything else, that it's going to screw them up on because we said no because of three keys? Are they willing to stop? You know, let's go call their bluff. Let's go.
It's my opinion. Call your town offices.
Understood.
Yeah. With ARPA money.
Bob.
That's what I said there. ARPA money.
Hey, Bob.
Well, Jim, I want to ask though. Yeah. So, you know, we were at that meeting on Saturday and they said they'll give you a key to make sure that you can use the town gym. The village gym, whoever's gym it is.
Right.
So is the village going to come unlock that every time?
They do currently.
Okay. As long as they're going to come, because they're saying, you know, let's do bingo once a week.
Right. They currently have Tasia come in and she sits with them. And I've been in talks with Tasia as well because I wanted to know what she has to do to open up the gym. And she sits here when boys basketball are your Thursday nights or whatever nights they got stuff. She's currently sitting here. And so that's where that is.
That's the fact that we had a rescue call here and we couldn't park out front in fire trucks.
Right.
We had to park in the middle of the road, but she was here.
She was here. So with that in mind, Bob, legally, can we tell us as a board where we are legally? Hang on a minute, guys, please.
Right now you're a month-to-month tenant because the lease is expired. So they could ostensibly bring in an action for eviction as a holdover tenant. So then you'd have to come back and say, you know, no, we're not. They presented us with this lease agreement and we were negotiating it and negotiations fell through. So now they want to evict us. They don't want to evict you. They won't evict you. Because then it just, you know what happened.
Yeah.
When is it due?
So it was due beginning of January, but because we tabled it till this meeting, until I spoke with the mayor and we tried our due diligence. So what is your opinion, Bob, on signing or not signing
Well, I mean, you can continue to negotiate the lease. It's expired, okay? So if you want a lease, you don't necessarily have to have a lease. You can stay here as a month-to-month tenant and pay a monthly if you want to. But you still don't have keys, and you don't have a lease agreement.
So we are legally bound to pay them monthly?
Well, I think so. You're occupying the building. And under the old agreement, you were paying X number of dollars every 6 months. So just divide that by six and pay it on a monthly basis.
Yeah, we can't pay January because it's not on the vouchers.
You can't what?
We can't pay January because it wasn't placed on the vouchers because...
Pay it next month.
Yeah, we'll pay them two. If that's what we decide to do
next month and say we're a month to month tenant, we got to keep negotiating this lease.
All right. Is everybody in agreement paying them monthly?
I am.
I don't care. Pay whatever you want.
I mean, not signing the lease and paying them monthly. I mean, I got to have a vote on this one. So I need a motion to do something.
More discussion, please.
Yep.
So in negotiation, the village is not willing to allow me access to the building during non-working hours, essentially. Maybe then I just pay them less money. My counteroffer is fine. I have no access of this percentage of the time instead of $1,000 a month. I don't know what it is. It's going to be $800 a month. Or 700.
Bob, legally, can we do that?
Well, normally what happens when your lease expires, you know, all bets are off. But usually what would happen is you pay monthly what you were paying before. I suppose you could pay less, but then they have to decide then, are we going to evict? Because now they're not paying what they used to, and they're not agreeing with us. So I don't know. I think you got to negotiate a little bit more and find out. I talked to Jim. He said when he'd ask why can't they have the keys, it was kind of a, you know.
At last night meeting, they didn't have to give us an answer.
Right.
It was, we don't want to.
Yeah, to me, that's not good enough.
Now, I need to know. Just remember this, too. Let me look at my notes from last night's meeting. Okay, they have a new gentleman on the board. This was his first meeting. He walked into this mess. The mayor voted no. Jackie voted no. After a lot of discussions and questions, Neil Chatterton voted yes. Gordon Youngman, the new gentleman, abstained because he really wasn't sure what to do, and LJ was not present at the meeting. So, once again, I am really believing that with a new board, that maybe we can approach them again after elections. I mean, it's another shot is what I'm saying. It's another look at it. So if we start paying them monthly, maybe, you know, we get keys come April. Because we can then approach, you know, that the other people will be there, because actually we could almost do it next month, but LJ, you're not going to be at that meeting either, are you?
If she can move it to the beginning of the meeting, I could, because next month, village board meetings are CPR, AED, and first aid refresher. And that's, McPhee does that for us, and that's the time slot he only had. If she could bump it to the beginning of the meeting, I could miss about the first half hour. The training.
Okay. Last night we were
unfortunately a lot.
Really hurt. Well, maybe you'd be the person to ask her.
Well, you would have to
do it for you.
Right.
She would. And she will. I'll talk to her.
Yeah. You'll have to bring it up because I'm sure Neil could vote yes again. LJ could vote yes again. And maybe the new gentleman who I've had discussions with will get a better understanding of it and vote yes. And it's just a matter of three versus two. It's another option that we have. Like I said, this has been, I go home and think about stupid keys.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's the whole basic thing is it's stupid, but my thing is, number one, The only reason I'm hearing is security. Okay, well, so it's, hold on.
Go ahead.
It's security. But the point is, what something, if you're sitting there saying no, because there's a security issue that you don't, then number one, tell me who and why you don't trust and who do you think is not secure enough to be in here on their own. I want to know. Tell me who. Give me a reason. Don't just say no. Give me a reason. You know?
Right. Can I question towards the mayor?
Right. There's,
you know what I mean?
I'm not against it.
Yes.
Hey, Jim?
Yes.
I suggest you go ahead and pay January and February, telling them that, you know, there's no lease, you're on a month-to-month tenancy, but that you'd like to continue to discuss a possible lease agreement.
Okay.
See what they say? That puts it in their court anyway.
Yeah, I can pay them in February, January. I'll put it on the vouchers. If somebody makes a motion to do that, we will then not sign the lease. We will continue working with it, and we will pay them in January or February. But I just need someone. You know what? I'll make that motion. I don't.
Last time,
not like you're trying to walk away from it. You know.
Like I said, I'm so involved in this already. Me and Doug spent over an hour and a half with the mayor discussing this. I've been in. And it's just, like I said, I'm fighting for you guys because I believe you should have them, but it's taken up a lot of my time. And it's something that is, to me personally, and I told them this, I was a little bit
offended,
not really offended. I was more disappointed. Right. I was disappointed that we couldn't get to them to understand
more cooperation between
right.
boards.
Right. And they were willing to break that bond that we're trying to work hard as a town board. And I told them that. I said, we're working to you know, work with you guys. And then you don't want to give us three keys. I go, I thought it was really disappointing.
It just makes me wonder, what is the biggest reason that makes him do that? Give me the reason. I might agree with you. Or give me a reason.
They did not. Tell me why. I tried to push them last night.
I can tell you.
You know?
So, needless to say.
Neil's on a village board for how many years?
Yeah,
16 years.
That's anyways.
We didn't have those problems.
Right. We have a motion on the floor. It was seconded.
Yep.
Aye.
Everybody's in agreement. Then, don't need anything. We will. You got that, Kelly? I know it was kind of long. Okay. We will move on. Like I said, we're going to just move on. I'm done. I'm done with that. I don't get done very often, but I am done with that. Any old business off the floor?
Yeah, what about the keys for the
building? You son of a gun.
I think we've already.
I'm glad I'm going to dinner.
I'd like to.
We've covered.
Bye, guys.
See you later.
No discussion allowed. Thank you for coming.
Nothing.
We're going to move. Anybody else with any old business? We'll move on to the new business. I need somebody to make a motion. Parish, the fire company currently has two members that we need to approve. They are, and we'll do it one at a time. We need somebody to make a motion.
I will make a motion to accept Kyle Buck.
Good job.
I'll second.
As a probationary member.
Probationary member.
All those in favor?
Aye.
He's technically a transfer.
Okay.
Well, he's already in the fire service.
Right.
Well, that's what he wrote.
No, this is what you wrote.
No, that's not what I wrote. My secretary.
So we all voted.
Right. Well, somebody wrote probationary member. I'm just.
He just belonged to Valley Fire Department. He works for Novalis.
Right.
It's all in the name.
So, somebody wrote probationary member on this.
Yeah.
Kyle Buck form. Do you want to change that to something else?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so we voted to pass the buck.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a motion on the floor to approve Kyle Buck. As a member.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Aye.
Aye.
All those in favor? Okay. Unanimously. Next one is Brian Davis, approved in the position of a RAM or a restrictive active member.
What's that?
16 to 18.
Second.
Aye.
We are.
Aye.
You got that, Kelly? Normally I say hey, no.
You remember what I was telling you?
I'm trying now.
Yes.
Okay. Next item that Paul Baxter already spoke about was the Tug Hill Conference. But what he didn't say was that anybody who wants to go, please respond to Kelly by 3-1. so she can get this in. We're going to put them all in together, and she will take care of it for our people. I will have to send that to the planning board as well. And then we will move on. Okay. Everybody should have received the employee handbook in your mailboxes that you can't get to without a key. Say it. Somebody say it. Okay. It's a not too much of a lengthy document. I didn't have a chance to go over it page by page or even read page one, to tell you the truth.
It's pretty dated, but not as much as I thought. Okay. There are just a couple of areas that will probably need to be tweaked a little. And tweaking means we could easily go to into someone else's database and look to see how they worded, you know, the diversity and inclusion kind of language, things like that, that are so important right now.
So do you want to have a committee handling this employee handbook?
You know, probably two of us could sit down and read it together.
Do you two, somebody, what two want to form a committee? You see where I'm going with this?
Gary, you want to have breakfast one morning and just read through it, draw lines and go improve, get rid of?
I can do that. Okay. Check my schedule.
So yes, I'm good. Somebody make a motion then to put Gary and Robin onto the employee handbook committee. And we that way it'll be formed.
Doug?
Make the motion.
You want me to make the motion? Yeah, I guess I gotta. Yeah.
I'm gonna second that.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Pass unanimously.
You can vote for
yourself. Sure you can. Kelly, do you have that?
I do.
Fantastic. All right. The deputy town clerk clerk line. It's been one of those weeks, fellas and girls. Currently, I know in our budget, we were able to place $10,900 into the court deputy clerk line.
Court deputy
clerk. They're not court, sorry, just the town clerk. Okay, I'm going to say that 20 times because it's right there in front of me. So, personally, if you can remember back, we chose that big amount because we may have had issues and we wanted to take the deputy and put her in the office a little bit more. Remember
that to fill up the hours.
So what I want to do is come up with a reasonable amount so that Kelly knows how much she can use her deputy and what she needs to, you know, use it. She's not going to use the 10-9, but we'll take the extra money that we choose tonight and put it into contingency so that she has a budget for that line that's reasonable. You understand where I'm going with that?
Do you have a suggestion, Kelly?
Go back to what it was before.
Me and Kelly spoke and we decided 3,000.
Oh, did you?
Correct, Kelly?
Yes.
What was it before?
In 2022, it was 1,500, but
2,500.
But it was 2,500 previous to that because Kelly, instead of asking,
okay, so
when she got,
just went up. So
yeah, years ago when she wanted a raise, they wouldn't give it to her, so they took it out of the deputy line. One of those type deals. And we agree that Kelly is getting underpaid even at $23,000.
Right.
In our budget, we decided to do that. So $3,000 will allow Kelly to do what she has to do, take her vacations, take her sick, you know, whenever she's not there, as well as use her deputy to go into the basement and do some of that filing with all these new shelves.
And also we did raise it 50 cents. I mean,
right. And we did raise it 50 cents, which, but that's why we chose 3,000 instead of 10,900. So we came up with a number that equated to it. $3,000 divided by 1550 was like 193 hours.
Yep.
I need
to make a motion.
Any discussion on that?
No, I'm good.
You're good, Doug? 3,000? Would you like some more thought?
No,
if it all goes to you, it goes back anyway.
Right. Which she may not take that. She hasn't taken that much time, but she was negated that, and it amounts to 193 hours.
Representative of what was there before, plus the wage increase, you know.
Right. And we got jobs for her to do. It's not like she's going to just use her, you know. She's going to use it sparingly, as she always has. If you look at her numbers and what she's used in the budget line for her deputy, was nowhere near her amounts. But it just comes to a realistic number instead of 10-9, mm-hmm. you know, so that we are more, you know, represented to the people's money.
So 7 grand go back in the contingency?
Yeah, the it would send back.
Yeah, whatever.
And so I need a transfer that to $7,900 back to contingency. So
I'll make a motion to approve that for $3,000 for the deputy.
Second. Okay, and Doug seconded that motion.
Yeah.
Aye. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. While I'm doing that, remind me to, because I had no transfers, but I will have to transfer that. Okay, we'll move on. The USDA truck grant, I'm going to give you a little history on this. We hired Joe Russell to handle the bonding for that USDA truck. Unfortunately, Mr. Russell has a terminal illness. I've been dealing with his wife, and she's done everything that she can. Joe was at a point that he could not talk because of his terminal illness, but his wife was... and he could write everything out. Well, it's gotten worse. And what Robin, his wife, has done is handed this off basically to a gentleman from, oh my gosh, I wrote it down too, KWB attorneys. And he was gonna, they're in the same building. He was gonna handle some of their cases. And what I need tonight is approval to switch our bond counsel from Joe Russell to this KWB attorneys, so that, because the paperwork isn't done yet on this bond. So I just need a motion to approve KWB attorneys. Robin?
A second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried to move it to KWB attorneys. Thank you, guys. It's been another great time. And unfortunately, Mr. Russell will probably pass within 2 months, is what his wife is telling me. So it's been somebody I've been talking on the phone to, and he couldn't talk, and they were struggling up there. So I appreciate you guys doing that. The next item up is the volunteer firefighters tax exemption. Pass that over to Doug, please. I don't want any any discussion on this tonight. I just wanted to make it known that it is available. It's going to have to be a local law. So what I want you guys to do is look at this. We're in no hurry to push this through.
Mm-hmm.
No. Right. So this is a 10% deduction, and a lot of the towns are looking at it, but it doesn't have to be done tonight. So just look at what I gave you. LJ gave me the second part. It said provided by Chief Harvey on it. The other one came from the Department New York State Taxation and Finance. So it's something to consider, but I want you guys to take your time and consider it instead of just trying to rush it through. Just
FYI, obviously they got to be a member for more than 2 years, above 2 years.
Yeah, yep, that's in here.
And no less than five.
And then with that number, more than 20
members, 10 people.
Right, but and more than 20,
you get lifetime
option. You get lifetime option. And so it will.
And it will also go to a non-remarried spouse.
Right, that's in here too. I read that as well. So it may be, like you said, how many members? But it could increase
over the years.
So we're talking 10 now, but
they have to be the owner of the property. They can't rent. They have to own the property.
Right. Cause it's a tax exemption on the property, but it would cost our taxpayers similar to what we just gave to the people that don't have, you know, a source of income, and their income is really low. But it's just a consideration, because then it will be once again spread amongst everybody's.
And so well freaking deserved, these guys.
Correct. I agree with you. It's just
basically for recruitment or retention. The village would have to do the same thing, and it could also be brought up to the school board to get it off the school board as well.
Right. So it doesn't have to be done tomorrow. It doesn't have to be done next month, but
it's just something that
it's for information and to consider.
For the school,
you know.
Well, the school I'd have Elmar Williamstown and West Dandelion Parish go on once. And I agree, because that's a bigger number.
Right. So consider it over the next month. Talk to the chief. Talk to whoever you wish. But it's information that we will probably have to deal with in the future. We have to pass a local law and go through the whole spiel on that, public hearings and all that.
As I said, you don't have to. You can always just vote it down.
Right. And a lot of towns did that in the original one that you guys.
That was for the LOSAP.
Right.
That's the retirement.
Retirement thing
that you get so much per call.
All right.
You know, wait, West Monroe does it.
No.
No, you don't know what's that?
I don't have
that. Hastings does.
Some did, some didn't, but just as a consideration, look it over, consider it. Any new business off the floor that's something I didn't get to anybody or somebody, I missed their email, who knows? Seeing none, hearing none, we'll move on then. No new business. Approval of the bills. The supervisor's report. Unfortunately, I am unable to give you one again this month. We had some issues upstairs and it took vouchers and we couldn't close out December and it took vouchers three times. We're trying to accomplish that. And everybody at Williamson is working on closing out every town's final year. So it will be here. You did get last November's in your mailboxes. So we caught up that month and we're currently working on December. I need a motion to transfer that money we discussed earlier.
The 7,900 and some. Yeah. Well, you wrote it down someplace.
Oh, it's right here. Yes, correct. So I'm looking for a motion to transfer from the deputy line.
Try carefully.
1410.
You, Bob. Have a good night.
Yep, we'll hold off here. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
Yes, thank all you right. Very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to look into the eviction proceeding and that type of thing too, and get a hold of their attorney just so you know.
Yeah, do it. Like, that's why we hired you, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Fight our battles for it.
So I am looking for a motion to transfer from the deputy line. Hang on, let me finish.
We all know what it is.
Because Kelly, no, what's the line?
It's what we've been talking about for the last half 14, hour.
14.10.12, and we need to move it to contingency. What's the line, Doug? 1990.4.
Thank you.
Okay, Kelly. I just want to make sure Kelly gets it because he'll ask me. So we have Gary making that motion. Second.
What? Doug made that motion.
Oh, did he?
No, I'm not getting into this.
I missed that one. I was talking to Kelly at the same time. Sorry.
Robin seconds it, right?
I second it.
Gary?
Yeah. This is why I was trying to go slow. It's going to be what I just said, $7,900. Okay. So we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Unanimous. I can at least hear people now and look at five people at once. Then I need a motion. I'm surprised Doug didn't say motion, sorry. From the general fund to approve vouchers 1 through 15 for $40,234.90. Robin moved.
Second.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous, Kelly.
Okay, now we can just halt. Because the next one I've got questions on.
Okay.
Because I found some errors. This total is not 346. This one is 410.
Hang on. Because we need account numbers.
Yep. And this one, they got transferred somehow. One of the numbers are right, but they're on the wrong papers. When you look at the receipts, they don't add up. The receipts add up to the opposite number.
So they just got stapled to the wrong.
Yes, they probably got stapled to the wrong ones. 41056 invoice.
But when you add all that stuff up, it does not come to 410. Right, it comes to 300 and change.
Because
and
this first amount is 381. Right. I see what you're saying. All right, let me just.
That's what caught my eye.
And it's going to go to the same people, so it'll be a same voucher. That's maybe.
That's probably how it happened.
I will show the clerk. So this one here, Kelly. The total. I don't know if you stapled them.
Well,
they add up to the same. So that first item is way over.
It hurts enough. I don't know how I missed it.
Right, but look at the
was
items.
That one of the salt?
No.
See the items? The first item is 381.
It was just, it's way it over. Said the total was so like 356.
Messed up with the
so
invoices.
I looked at it, the first item was $380. I'm like, what?
Why? I take the number and look at the abstract, and the numbers were apparently I have crossed up.
Lawson. They're both Lawson, so the total is still going to be the same on our voucher.
It's the same vendor.
Just stapled to the wrong one, right?
Just switch
them,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Just switch the back pages off. Yeah. So
I figured it was something like that because the numbers matched.
Here.
But it was just off by a page.
I think it's going to the same
vendor.
You want
some paper clips?
So the totals add up the same. So our voucher number is still going to be, it will still go to the same.
And then I just didn't understand all of this. What is all of this?
What this is, these are corrections because they gave us checks back as a reimbursement because we overpaid them the first time. Because it when we put the new gentleman in, they got a refund and they gave us checks back. That's what those are for. And this is the overpayment. And then it adds to the premiums. And when it came out, we owe them for the 8114.24 right there. Because every time we contacted them, they changed the amount. Then they would send us another email.
Right.
So this is the new amount.
That was just holy screwy. Well, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Welcome to my office. And that's just conversations between the bookkeeper and Charlene at the Teamsters. And that's what it comes out to when it's all, and that's why that's her writing that she's reworked from what they said.
Right.
Because when they give us, they will give us a thing with a rebate and say, write it on the invoice. And that's her writing. That's Angie's writing on the invoice to correct whatever the checks right. They gave us and the minuses, and then with new employees,
I'm surprised they don't make her sign on that.
Well, we just send that in with a check,
right?
And so they don't care where it comes from, they get their check. All right. And then a lot of times it's back and forth. So
those are my concerns.
Okay, so with that, you're all set with motion for the DA.
I'll move to sign them.
Fantastic. She made a motion to approve vouchers 1 through 13.
A second.
$25,669.17 with Gary seconded.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous, Kelly. I now need a motion for voucher number 14 from the DB fund for $366.28.
A move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
You got that?
Yep.
All right. Our next regular meeting will be February 16th at 6:30. Any other questions or concerns?
Hold on a second. Let me check. February 16th. Yep. Third Thursday.
Yeah. Sometimes check I mess up. Work. I know. Trust me. I know. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please, if nobody has any other questions?
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Move.
Second.
Hi.
Thank you, everybody. Like I said, I appreciate all your work.